Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
The video that you just saw was from the 1988 Summer Olympics in Seoul, Korea. It was the 100 meters, and this race featured one of the best fields of competitors that had ever ran the race up until that point in time, several years before Usain Bolt. The top two contenders were Ben Johnson of Canada and Carl Lewis of the United States. Lewis was trying to repeat his gold medal performance that he had won in the 1984 Olympics in Los Angeles. 1 month before the Seoul Olympics, Lewis had beaten Johnson in Zurich. But before that race, Johnson had beaten Lewis four consecutive times, including the 1987 World Championships, and he was the current world record holder. It promised to be a good race. After the gun sounded, it only took 9.79 seconds for Johnson to cover the 100 meters, winning the race and setting a new world record to become the fastest man who had ever lived. However, his celebration was short-lived because a few days later, he was disqualified for illegal use of anabolic steroids. Time magazine stated, and I quote, "Johnson went from hero to bum almost as fast as he covered the 100 meters in Seoul." Ben Johnson lacked integrity and excellence in his sport, and as a result, it cost him everything. Banned for life, could never race again. And this morning, I want us to take a look at another Ben Johnson. He's mentioned in 2 Chronicles chapter 12. You can turn there if you want. But this Ben Johnson is not an Olympic athlete. He was actually a king of the nation of Israel. His name was Rehoboam. And Rehoboam was the son of King Solomon. And this morning, I want to talk about living life with spiritual excellence. The title of our message is called Go for the Gold. I don't know about you, but you know, just getting an Olympic medal would be great. But if you're capable of gold, is a bronze medal good? No. And the thing is God has written destiny on each and every one of you. Each and every one of us are capable of going for the gold. And this morning, I want to talk about what does it mean to go for the gold? What does it mean to live for spiritual excellence? By the way, some of you are saying, where is this medal? This is not mine. I'm saying this now because some of you are going to think about it the whole service unless I address it, okay? This is my daughter's weightlifting medal from the United States USA Powerlifting Weightlifting Championship. She got a couple years ago, so she let me borrow it. So, all right. Let's talk about three observations. In your bulletins this morning is our homework for our life groups. It also has your sermon notes. If you want to take notes today, you can follow along. You can also go to YouVersion, check the live events, and it has the outline with all the scriptures, and you can take notes on your smartphone. The first observation about spiritual excellence today is that spiritual excellence is giving God our best. It's giving God our best. And that's what Rehoboam did when he first started reigning as king. As mentioned, Rehoboam's dad was King Solomon. Solomon had brought Israel to the most wealthiest, most influential, most prosperous state it had ever known. And there had never been a kingdom that was richer, more powerful than King Solomon's Israel. However, Solomon worshipped idols. As a result, the Lord said he would split the kingdom after Solomon passed away. And it happened. There was 12 tribes of Israel. 10 of them revolted, and they went with a guy named Jeroboam, and only two stayed with Rehoboam. And I want you to just imagine with me, Rehoboam lost 83% of his people. 83% of his tax base, 83% of his revenue stream. Why? Not because of something he did, but because something his father did. Parents, what you and I do has a tremendous impact on our kids. We set our kids up for success, or we set them up for failure. And as we talk about spiritual excellence today, I want you to realize it's not just about you and I, but it's about the next generation. It's about our sons and our daughters. And so we need to keep that in remembrance. And so in Solomon, he starts out with a huge detriment, only 17% left of the nation with him. But here's the thing. How many know that God defies the odds? Doesn't he? That's been the theme of our year this year. God defies the odds, and he does it again with Rehoboam. Why? Because Rehoboam has spiritual excellence. Flip a chapter back, 2 Chronicles chapter 11. We're going to look at verse 3 and 4. And here's something that happened. Rehoboam, at first, he says, I'm going to get those 10 tribes back. He's ready to go to war. And so he calls all his troops together, 180,000 men, and he's ready to go to war. But something happens, and a word comes from God. It says in verse 3, 2 Chronicles 11, speak to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Judah, and to all Israel in Judah and Benjamin. Judah and Benjamin were the two tribes that went with him. Thus says the Lord, you shall not go up or fight against your brethren. Let every man return to his house, for this thing is from me. Therefore, they obeyed the words of the Lord and turned back from attacking Jeroboam. Rehoboam humbled himself. He didn't let pride, he didn't let vanity, he didn't let the desire for more money and more power and affluence to cause him to sin. He surrendered himself to God. He obeyed God. And he didn't care if his soldiers, 180,000, he says, hey, come, let's go to war, let's get ready. He didn't care if they thought he was a coward, if he was a chicken. He said, go home, we're going to obey God. That's the kind of heart that he started out with. He was giving his best to God. And the thing is, though, it didn't last. It didn't last. You know, but before he fell down, as he's walking this obedience, giving his excellence to God, God's blessing him. And that's the second observation about spiritual excellence. Embracing spiritual excellence results in God's blessings. It results in God's blessings. God began to send people to him. Because up north in the 10 tribes, Jeroboam, their new king, says, we're not going to worship God. I don't want to worship God. In fact, all the Levitical priests that live here, we don't want you. You're not going to be able to worship God and make sacrifices to God. And they left him. And we read about it in chapter 11, verse 16 and 17. The Levites left those from all the tribes of Israel, such as who set their heart to seek the Lord God of Israel. They came to Jerusalem to sacrifice to the God of their fathers, and they strengthened the kingdom of Judah and made Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, strong for 3 years. Why? Underline this in your Bibles. Because they walked in the way of David and Solomon for 3 years. They walked after God. They were seeking God. They were going for gold. They were seeking excellence. God wants you and I to seek excellence, because when we do, it produces blessing in our life. How many of you experienced that before? When you seek God, he produces blessing. Now, does that mean everything's always perfect? No. We talked about chase the lion at the beginning of the year. Benaiah had God's blessing, but he still had to fight some battles. He still had to go down in the pit with a lion on a snowy day. He still had to fight the Egyptian giant. He fought two on one, the two lion-like warriors of Moab. He was outnumbered. He still had battles. And this is the thing. Sometimes Christians think, well, if there is a battle, that means God doesn't love me. Friends, as we talked about in Chase the Lion, the battle is what led to the promotion. The battle is what led to him having the blessing of God. If we're seeking God, then we have to realize that when God brings the good or when God brings the bad, God is at work and he's doing something to accomplish a greater good for us and for his kingdom. Have you been fighting a battle and you've been feeling like throwing in the towel? You've been feeling like, man, this just isn't worth it. Friends, the victor gets the medal. The one who finishes the race. And I'm glad it's not just the most talented of us or the most athletic, but each of us can be victors in Christ Jesus and go for the gold in our lives. That's what God wants. He wants to give us blessing. And Rehoboam, he had it. Even though he only had 17%, God defied the odds. You know, God can defy the odds in your life. God, and how many know God still does miracles? Our life group, Wednesday night, we had a miracle. We right in the middle of life group, there was someone, my wife noticed that they were just, they looked like there was something wrong with them. And she says, are you okay? And this person says, I've had heart palpitations for 2 days and it's acting up right now. We stopped right there in our life group. We gathered around, we laid hands, we prayed. And this person said, as we were praying, she felt this incredible peace come over her. And then she felt like a hand was placed on her heart and it was pulling on her heart and the heart palpitations went away. Texted her this morning and she's still fine. Nothing since we've prayed. Can you give God a hand? Amen. She is still keeping her doctor's appointment for Wednesday to make sure everything's good. But I'm believing God heals. Friends, God does miracles today and he wants to do a miracle in your life. I don't care how bleak it looks. Chase the lion, go for the gold and receive the blessing of God and the best that God has for you. Rehoboam, however, stopped going for the gold. He stopped pursuing spiritual excellence. And that brings us to the third point, the third observation in your notes. Rejecting spiritual excellence results in spiritual and personal calamity. Rejecting spiritual excellence results in personal calamity and spiritual calamity in our relationship with God. This is where we're going to look at our text, 2 Chronicles 12, verse 1. It says, it came to pass when Rehoboam established a kingdom and had strengthened himself, that he forsook the law of God and all Israel with him. He's doing great. I'm following God. God is blessing me. And now he comes to a point where, you know what? I don't need to do this anymore. I can do this on my own. And he forsakes God. We're not told here what he did, but there is a parallel passage in the book of 1 Kings. You might want to write this down. 1 Kings chapter 14, verses 23 and 24. It says that Rehoboam and the nation of Israel, they built for themselves high places, sacred pillars, and wooden images. Look at this. On every high hill and under every tree. I want you to picture Wyoming. How many hills do we have in Wyoming? A lot. How many trees do we have? Not as many till you get to Casper Mountain, okay? But the mountains are some high hills. And what they did is they built these altars to pagan gods all over the place. At one time, they were following God, getting his blessing, but now they're turning from God. And it says, there was also perverted persons in the land. And they did according to all the abominations of the nations that the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. Judah, Rehoboam looks around him and sees what everybody else is doing. And even though God has blessed him, now he says, you know what? I want to be like the world. I want to think like them. I want to look like them. I want to act like them. I'm going to do what they do. What they say is right, I'm going to say is right. And he threw out the standards of God and he adopted the standards of the world. And because of his compromise, because he wasn't giving God his best, because he wasn't pursuing spiritual excellence, he lost it all. Let me ask you a question. For those of you who are married, husbands, how many of you would like it if your wife went out with five or six other different guys and was living it up with them? How many men would like that? No, I wouldn't. Ladies, how many wives would like your husband to be chasing around a half a dozen other women? How many would find that acceptable? I know my wife wouldn't. We don't have a gun, but I think if I did, she'd probably get a gun. No, she's real sweet. But there'd be a frying pan probably. Here's the thing. We see that excellence in marriage is being faithful and giving your spouse our best. By the way, next week we're kicking off a new marriage series, Love It Enlisted. We encourage you to be a part of that. But if it's not acceptable in marriage, how come we can feel we can compromise in our relationship with God and not give Him our best? That's what Rehoboam was doing. And that brings us to verse 2. Look at verse 2 of 2 Chronicles 2. It happened in the fifth year of Rehoboam. Notice, he sought God for 3 years. And then 2 years later, as this is happening, there's no negative consequences. Friends, that's what happens sometimes. God is so gracious with us that we take one step out of His will that He doesn't slam us with the frying pan. God is gracious. I'm sure He's working on Rehoboam, trying to bring him back, but nothing happens. And so God finally says, I need to get his attention. So 2 years later, in his fifth reign, it says that Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem because they had transgressed against the Lord with 1,200 chariots, 60,000 horsemen, and people without number who came with him out of Egypt. Shishak took the fortified cities of Judah and came to Jerusalem. Skip to verse 9. So Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem and took away the treasures, note this, of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. He took, help me, everything. He lost it all. The treasures from the house of the Lord and from the king's house. Spiritual calamity, personal calamity. When you and I stop giving God excellence, stop giving Him our best, it impacts our relationship with Him. We lose our peace, we lose our joy, we lose vision, we lose purpose, we lose significance. We become aimless and restless in life and don't know what's wrong. I just don't know why God's not answering my prayer. Maybe it's because we're not seeking Him. And He's trying to get you to realize that if you keep going the way you're going, it will destroy you. But he also lost all the treasures of his own house. And here's the thing, it's going to impact our families, going to impact our marriages. You not only impact your walk with God, but your kids' walk with God. And Rehoboam, because he didn't give God his best, lost everything. How many of you want to lose everything? Any takers? Raise your hand. I'm keeping my hand down. I don't. Very sobering. To me, it breaks my heart. God had showed him such a miracle, such a blessing. And then he turns his back. Do we turn our backs on God? Do we turn our backs on Him? Take a look at verse 10. Actually, the last part of verse 9. It says, Shishak also carried away the gold shields that Solomon had made. These shields are talked about in chapter 9. Verse 15 and 16, Solomon made 200 large shields that weighed 15 pounds, and they were made of solid gold, not gold-plated, but solid gold shields, and he had 300 smaller shields of 7.5 pounds of gold. When you add it up, 5,250 pounds of gold, these shields alone. And the shields, if you take what gold's price is today in modern terms, the shields alone were worth $112 million. That's a lot of gold. And that's what he lost. And you know what Rehoboam does? Look at verse 10. Rehoboam made bronze shields in their place. And he committed them to the hands of the captain of the guard who guarded the doorway of the king's house. And whenever the king entered the house, the guard would go and bring them out
And then they'd take them back in the guardroom. So whenever the king walks in, trumpets blare, and the guard comes out with 500 shiny shields. And it's like, hey, these are the shields my dad made. The dynasty's still intact. Our greatness is still here. God's still with us. Look how good it is. But if you got up close and you looked at them, you'd realize it's not real gold. It's just bronze. It's a substitute. You see, Rehoboam looked good in the public eye. He looked good in front of the camera. But if you could get to his core, to who he really was, he was brass. He didn't have excellence. He wasn't giving God his best. And so for the remainder of our time this morning, I just want to share three quick ways. Let's make this practical. How do we go for the gold of spiritual excellence? How do we go for the gold of spiritual excellence? How do we give God our best? Point number one, choose character over compromise and carnality. That's the first way that we choose spiritual excellence, by choosing character over compromise and carnality. When Rehoboam started out, he chose the character. He chose humility. He chose to risk for God. God, I'm going to trust you. You're going to make up for the 83% that I've lost. He was willing to lose his reputation among his people. He didn't care what people thought. He cared about what God thought. So he went after God. He wanted to fully obey and honor and serve him by chasing the lion. And God blessed him. But then something changed. And I don't know if he wanted more. It tells us when you read 2 Chronicles 12 that he started getting more wives for himself and more wives for his kids. And he sees what all the other nations are doing and he wants to be like them. And he compromises. He doesn't surrender his desires to God's desires. Do we compromise our character in little things? You see, character is doing what's right when nobody is looking. It's not when everybody's in front of us and they see us, but it's doing what's right when no one's around. A few years back, I was in Smith's, and I picked up some milk, and I go to the cash register, and it was supposed to ring up at $1.89, and it came at like $3 and something. And I'm saying, hey, you overcharged me. And they says, no, this is right. And I says, no, it's not. I'll go back and look. And so I go back to the rack where it was, and the milk was, there was several shelves. You know how they are. On the top shelf, it said $1.89. The next couple shelves underneath where I took from, and this is the same brand, same size, same everything, had no price on it. And then the several shelves under that, all the way to the bottom, said $1.89. And so I picked one from the shelf that wasn't marked. They're going to charge me over $3 for it. So I picked up a gallon from the right amount, and I go to, and the thing is, I'd already bought the milk. And I found all this as I was going out to the car. I was looking over. I went back to them. They wouldn't give it to me. So I went back because I had about 3-4 gallons of milk. That's when we had 6 kids in the house. We went through milk faster than a cow could produce it. And I tell you, so I went back and I said, here, ring this up. They rang it up and they realized, you're right. And so they gave me back the money. And when they gave it back to me, I started to walk out the store and I look at it and it's like, now they've given me like, it was like twice as much, almost 3 times as much of what they should have given back to me. And you know, I was sick and tired of being that. I just ran in to get some cheap milk, for crying out. I was under a time crunch. And I was like, you know what? They've wasted my time. They deserve to lose the money on that milk. That's what the voice is telling me ahead. But there's another voice saying, your character is more important than your convenience right now. Your character is more important than getting on your way and getting home. So I went back and we got it all straightened out. And what was supposed to be a couple of minutes was about 20 minutes. But you know something? My kids were with me. And they were watching. And this is the thing. Our kids need to see us as being people of character. We're going to do right, even if it hurts us, even if it's costs us, even if it's not comfortable, not convenient. We need to have character. and not carnality. Not look for how can we make the most, be the most, get the most out of life. But instead of the best for me, say, God, I want the best for you and for your kingdom. Because people are watching. People are watching. Let's take a look at the second application this morning. Is that we live life for a calling instead of comfort and convenience. Rehoboam lost sight that God had chosen him to follow the line of David and to be the king of Israel, to be the one who's going to continue the messianic line, the promise that a Messiah is going to come and set Israel free. And he forgets about all of that, and instead he says, I want to be comfortable. I want to fit in. I want all this. He gave up a calling. And here's the thing. God just doesn't want you and I to have great character and to be people that don't do sin. He wants us to chase lions. He wants us to live for destiny. God has a calling for you. And if you don't believe that, we just had a prophecy this morning about God wants to make us a masterpiece, that each of us as a thread, each of us as a color, he wants to blend us to impact this city. God has given you gifts. He's given us talents and abilities. He's given you resources, and he wants you and I to use them for his glory. You know what's sad is I have known parents who say that they go to church once a month, twice a month, and they say, man, I don't get it. Why my kids really aren't passionate for God? I've known parents who say, you know what? I don't want to sign up for a ministry on Sunday morning because then I've got to come on that Sunday, and I want the freedom that if I don't feel like going to church, I don't have to go to church that Sunday. If I wake up and I just don't feel like it, then I can stay home. I don't want to be tied down to it. You know what that communicates to our kids? That God is not all out important to you. And if you don't feel like serving him at that moment, then you don't have to. You don't have to pursue him. You don't have to go after him. There are eyes that are watching us. Rehoboam forgot, God has a calling for me and God has a calling for you. Some of you, God's been speaking to you about getting involved in a ministry, about giving to something, about donating your time or your energy somewhere, and you've been pushing it off. You haven't wanted to do it because you say, I'm afraid that I'm going to lose out on my recreation time here, or it's going to cost me money, or it's going to cost me something, and I don't want to give that up. Friends, when have you and I ever given something up to God that he told us to give up, and it was worse for us? Now, I know sometimes it felt like it was worse, but in the long run, I've realized, wow, God, you knew what was best. I'm so glad I obeyed you. In those times when I disobeyed him, I've had that regret. Man, why did I do that? Spiritual excellence lives for a calling beyond yourself to do something for the king. And then the last area of going for the gold is to authentically pursue God instead of appearing to have passion. I go to church, but I don't spend any time in prayer during the week. Prayer life is pretty non-existent. I'm involved in ministry, but I'm not letting the Word of God saturate. Oh, I'll give a 5-minute devotional. You know, I'll give up my laundry list of prayers to God. Give me this, give me that, protect my kids, be with, you know, Jim, John, Jane, Bob, Sarah, Ann, and boom, we're off. Whew, I got that done. Check that off for the day. We say, well, man, I'm not going out and committing adultery. I'm not having premarital sex. But I'm looking at pornography on my phone or on my computer. Or I'm not doing pornography, but I'm lusting over the opposite sex at work, at school, in church, at the mall, wherever I go. I see him as eye candy, and I'm constantly lusting. It is so easy for us to appear good. We come to church, we raise our hands, oh yeah, I'm good, and then I walk out and I gossip. I'm not swearing, but I'm blowing up at my family, and I'm tearing into people and being negative and critical and no fun to be around. Do I have an authentic pursuit of God, or do I just look good on a Sunday morning when I come in and say, oh, thank you, Jesus? Character, calling, and an authentic pursuit. Those are the ways to excellence.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us casperfaith@gmail.com or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.